the steadfast love, justice, and righteousness of God across generations. The steadfast love, justice, and righteousness of God across generations. I mean, in case you were wondering if Deborah was reading the right passage, yes. And it will all make sense in a minute. So just, or if you're wondering, what is he going to say from this genealogy and all this, tongue-bending names we were listening to earlier, I'd like to just encourage you to be patient, okay? And trust in the wisdom of God this morning. If I were to ask you, what are you most proud of? I think I've done this before. And I remember Myron saying, your iPhone or something. Was it iPhone or your... Yeah. So I'm going to ask, start again. Many of you adults didn't participate in my not-so-funny game that day, so... Maybe we can this morning. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what you're most proud of. So it doesn't need to be an iPhone. Just tell them, if you can, what you're most proud of. Okay. You can carry on talking after coffee. I'm not a mind reader. One house. We can focus back on the sermon now. Thank you. I'm not a mind reader, but I assumed that some of you might have mentioned, like Myron, his iPhone. Some of you might have mentioned your family. Some of you might have mentioned your children or grandchildren. Perhaps you've mentioned your education or your career, your achievements, your... Maybe you're very clever, like Olaiton, at creating things and building things. Are you proud of your skill set? Or maybe you're proud of the life you've worked hard to build over the years. There's nothing wrong with being proud of those things and being grateful for such things. After all, they are gifts from God, and many of those things might have been developed through much effort and sacrifice. So well done for having things in your life that you might be proud of. Yet the prophet Jeremiah gently challenges us to think about what really matters most. And it says in Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24, and this is in the NRSV version. NRSV's version. It says, let not the wise boast in their wisdom. So basically, don't take so much pride in your wisdom. All the strong boast in their strength. All the rich boast in their riches. But let the one who boast about these, that they have understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises steadfast love, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. Remember that song? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Let those who boast about this, that they understand that God is the governor, He is the Lord, He is the master over all things. He is the one who exercises steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. For in these things the Lord delights. In other words, the greatest privilege in life is not what we possess, or what we have, or what we've accomplished, or what we've achieved. The greatest privilege is to know God. That is what that passage is telling us. And what kind of God is this God that we know? Because sometimes when we hear people describe God, you get puzzled about the kind of God they're describing. Jeremiah tells us that the God we're talking about, He is the God of steadfast love, the God of justice, the God of righteousness. These are not simply things that God does from time to time. Rather, they are expressions of who God is. They reveal His very character. In fact, if you were to read the Bible from beginning to the end, you will discover that these three qualities, steadfast love, justice, righteousness, is like a golden thread across the Bible. Again and again, God reveals Himself as the one who never fails, whose love never fails. Hence we sing every Sunday here about His steadfast love. His justice never sleeps, and His righteousness never falters. And perhaps nowhere is this truth displayed more in the Bible than in that chapter of Matthew, Deborah just read, Matthew chapter 1. And you may be struggling at the moment to see that just by reading the names, but again, bear with me a moment, we will get there. At first glance, Matthew 1 does not seem particularly exciting. It's just a genealogy, a long list of someone begat this and that person begat that and that person begat that, and we have in all these names that many of us are struggling to pronounce. But look at those names very closely. Which is why it's important. Let's develop a habit of actually reading the Bible and not reading it like a newspaper where you just glance over it. Ellen often talks about maybe how she gets her inspiration to preach or give a sermon. I woke up in the middle of the night one day and I got drawn to this passage. And I discovered something I never saw before. Because I saw some of those names and I got a bit, why should this person's name be on this genealogy? Then I realized something. I realized that this wasn't just a long list of a family tree, but this is the Bible telling us a story of the steadfast love, the justice and righteousness of God. The genealogy, open your Bibles, please, Matthew 1. Matthew didn't begin from Adam. It began from Abraham. Probably just to save some space or something. I'm not sure why. It begins with Abraham and moves through centuries of history. It takes us through triumph and times of tragedy, through kings and commoners, through moments of faithfulness and moments of failure, until finally he arrives at Jesus Christ. What is striking is not simply those who appear in the list, but the kind of people who appear in it. Again, look at those names and you can recognize some of them if you pay close attention. When you look closely at those names, it's not just a family tree filled with flawless characters or heroes. It's a family tree filled deeply with many people that a lot of us we consider imperfect people. Did you find Abraham in it? Abraham, who these days, and rightly so, we acknowledge as the great father of faith, again and again in the Bible told lies and sacrificed his wife to save his own skin. Did you remember that story from your Sunday school days? Jacob is on that list. Did you see Jacob? Did you suffer? Did you see Jacob on that list? Jacob built much of his early life on deception and manipulation. Tricked his brother Saul. Preyed on his desperation, took his birthright, deceived his father, stole the blessing that belonged to his brother. Did you see Judah in that list? Did you see Judah? How many of us are familiar with the story of Judah? Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah. Perez and Zerah were twins. Their mother was Tamar. Tamar was originally married to one of Judah's sons. So those Perez and Zerah were born to Tamar. So Judah, you know, had, you know, his way with Tamar, who used to be a wife of, you know, his son. Did you see Rahab in that list? Rahab, if you remember the Wall of Jericho and all those stories, Rahab was a woman of the night, as we, if you want to be polite, we say these days, a prostitute. Did you see David on that list? David, where will I even start from? Yes, he was Israel's greatest king. Abused his power, arranged the death of one of his soldiers, forcefully took his wife. And then you've got many of the other kings of Israel who followed David, who led Israel away from God rather than towards it, yet they show up on that list. Some people on that list work closely with the Lord, others wandered far from him. And yet, through all the twists and turns of human history, through every failure and every rebellion, every disappointment, God's purposes continue to move forward. Just like it was then, humans, we are never consistent. That is why we sing every Sunday here, the steadfast love of the Lord. We don't sing about our own, our love is never steadfast, is it? Our actions are never steadfast. Human beings were never consistent and were still never consistent. But God's love remains consistent. So this historical, this genealogy tells a lot of stories of human inconsistencies. So like David, sometimes we display faith and sum up courage and trust the Lord and face Goliath and do great things. Then the next moment, we're killing Uriah. But God remains faithful. As one writer puts it, the Bible is not the story of humanity's faithfulness to God. Rather, it is the story of God's faithfulness to humanity. The Bible is not the story, it's not the story of humanity's faithfulness to God. Rather, it is the story of God's faithfulness to humanity. Just look at that list. You got everything there. Yet God remains faithful. And this is exactly what Matthew's genealogy reveals. Generation after generation stumbled and were inconsistent. Yet God continued his work of redemption. People failed repeatedly. Even strong heroes like Abraham and David and Solomon, who was called the wisest man, they failed repeatedly, but God's steadfast love never failed. And that should encourage every one of us, because we can see ourselves in a lot of these characters. Strong one day, weak the next. Full of faith one moment, ridden with doubt the next moment. Praising God one morning, cursing the Lord's people the next. And that's just the way humans have always been. That should encourage all of us that the steadfast one here in this equation of life has always been God, not us. And that's partly why every Sunday we come here and we say a confession. Because the only one constant is God. If God's plan depended on perfect people, none of us would qualify. To think that Jesus came through the genealogy of all those people. You can imagine if God was waiting for the pure clan or whatever. Every family has its painful chapters. Every church has its disappointment. Every life carries some regrets. Humans have never been perfect and they never will be. Jesus again and again went for the Pharisees. You know why? He kept knocking on their hypocrisy, appearing to be perfect. Because Jesus, of course, could see through them. Humans, we're not perfect, we're not steadfast. But God is perfect, God is steadfast. The good news of the scripture is that God's purposes are not defeated by human weakness or wickedness. The same God who walked through Abraham, Jacob, Rahab, Tamar, David, and countless other flawed individuals is still at work today. And maybe God has been calling you into a higher purpose for him. Are you beginning to, and you keep looking at yourself and thinking how flawed you are. Just look at that genealogy. God uses imperfect people. He uses imperfect genealogies. He uses imperfect humans to work out his perfect purposes. I've shared this story before of a master weaver creating a magnificent tapestry. And if you recall, I said in that story, is when visitors stood underneath it, all they could see were loose threads, tangled knots, and what appeared to be a confusing mess. Nothing seemed to fit together, just looking at it from the bottom. But when these same visitors were invited upstairs to look at the tapestry from above, an entirely different picture emerged. What had looked chaotic became beautiful. Every thread had its place. Every knot contributed something fantastic to the design. Life often feels like viewing the underside of that tapestry. From our own perspective, if we fixated just on our individual stories, all we may see will be like loose threads and disappointment and unanswered questions. We see mistakes that we've made and the pain we've caused or maybe endured ourselves. But God sees the completed picture. He sees the beginning and the end. And even when we cannot understand what is going on, God continues to weave his purposes through generations and through lives like ours. People often ask me sometimes, why did you get into ministry, or why did God call you? And usually I say to them, I don't know. I don't, because but one thing I know is that it's beyond just me. You could see like all those generations leading up to Jesus. 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the exile, 14 generations from the exile to the birth of Jesus. God is the master weaver. Nothing happens by accident, including your mistakes, including my own errors. God God's wisdom is beyond our comprehension. And that is why Jeremiah tells us not to boast in our own wisdom or in our own strength or in our own wealth, but boast in these, that we know the Lord who is steadfast in love, in justice, and in righteousness. Our wisdom is limited. Our understanding is partial. Our perspective is often restricted to what we can see in front of us. But God's steadfast love endures forever, and his purposes are never derailed, even when humans fail, even when your friends disappoint you, even when your sisters gang up on you. Notice that Jeremiah does not simply say that God possesses steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. He says God delights in them. God delights in showing love, mercy. Oftentimes at the beginning of the services, we will say grace, mercy, and love. God delights in showing these things. He delights in bringing justice where there have been injustice and healing where there have been brokenness. And the greatest expression of that delight is found in Jesus Christ. So Matthew's genealogy doesn't end with Abraham, doesn't end with David, doesn't end with the exile, the failure or disappointment brought about by David and Jacob and the rest. That's historical record. Ends with Jesus. Because Jesus is where the story had been heading on all along. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises, the embodiment of God's steadfast love, and the revelation of God's righteousness. Indeed, through Christ's steadfast love, indeed, Christ's love, his steadfast love, his justice, his righteousness, is across all generations. And we should take refuge in that. The story doesn't begin with us, and it won't end with us. And pure biology teaches us that part of why we're here today is our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandmothers, our great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers. And after we're gone, the story of God's love, justice, righteousness will still continue. So let us be grateful to God for what we are, for those things we possess, but let us give thanks to God as well for those who came before us. And in open trust in God, let us continue to be thankful of those people and those things that will come after us. That is part of why we have to trust in God. It's not just here and now. It's steadfast love. Anew every morning. And I pray this morning that our understanding might be enlightened to see and appreciate that truth, that it is above us, it is beyond us. God's faithfulness, God's mercy. And I just pray that we can trust in him, not just for the here and now, but for the whole of eternity. Amen.